Somebody shout glory. My, my, my. I just feel like something good is about to happen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. Somebody say amen. I invite you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 16 tonight. Book of Acts chapter 16. What an incredible camp that we have been enjoying together. What a rich presence of God that's been in this place. Praise God. Just kind of real quick. Somebody say amen. You know, sometimes you can preach messages and people don't remember what you have preached. And so, in this section right here, what did Brother Mitchell preach on the first night? I asked right here. Come here. What did you say I preach? But what's the title of my message? I asked this section. I'll get to that section. Somebody in this section, what did I preach Monday? I can't hear you. I just need one person. One person's going to get something from me. So raise your hand. Brother Mullings, you pick somebody. Cheap seat. All right, what did I preach? Come here, please. Give him a hand, somebody. Young ladies, I'm going to step up the stakes here. I'm going to give him a tape. I'll give a young lady a CD. If you tell me where my text was taken from, not the title of my message, but last night, my text. Sergeant, you pick somebody. Last night, where was my text taken from? Pick any one of them. What's that? It was Jonah. What was, where's it found? Where? Uh-huh. Chapter and verse. I asked over here. I asked right here. I just need one person. This young lady right here. I can't hear you. Jonah chapter and verse 10. That sounds right. Come. Give her a hand. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I brought along some tapes with me with the intent of selling them. But you've done so incredibly well giving to She's for Christ. Everybody say She's for Christ. I am impressed with your giving to She's for Christ. You ought to give yourselves a hand for that. That is absolutely incredible. How you have given sacrificially to the work of the Lord. So I told my wife, I said, every tape that we have, we're literally just going to give it away for $2. That's a bargain at any price. There are other messages that I've preached, not just messages that I'm preaching here at the camp, but messages like shocking hell with an unexpected decision. And somebody needs to shock hell. Turn to your neighbor and say, shock hell. So messages like those, they're just $2, and if you go over to her and tell her how pretty she looks, she might even give it to you free. Don't everybody run to her at one time. Everybody say amen. Amen. Book of Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verses 25, 26, 27, 30, and 31. Praise God. Who can tell me where my church is located? Where? That's too easy. I got you. That's so easy I can't even give you anything for that. That's all right. Lord, I tell you what I will do though. All the veterans that were here 6 years ago when I preached, raise your hand. My. 6 years ago when I came and preached camp. You were here. Oh, I know you were here, Sister Jones. All right. Tell me the first message. Tell me one of the messages I preached when I was here. What? My heart is fixed. That was one I preached. And there's a young lady's. Her hand is tall, right? What's the message I preached when I was here? How hungry are you? You're right. Come. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 16. Praise God. And it came to pass as we went to prayer. Acts chapter 16, pardon me, verse 25. And at midnight, everybody say at midnight. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And I've come to tell somebody tonight that when you cannot break out, God will break in. So it don't matter what prison the devil has you in tonight. Raise your hand and say, Lord, break in so I can break out. Because if you can't get out, because the devil has you in an inner prison, somebody raise your hand and say, Lord, break in so I can break out. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you may be seated. Lord, break into my prison so I can break out of my situation, so that the world can experience a breakthrough. I have often wondered why it is that the apostolic church of yesterday and the church of today and the young people of the United Pentecostal Church are not experiencing the magnitude of revival that God has intended for the church to experience. And I've come to tell you tonight that it is God's will for the church to have revival. Somebody say revival. We need to break into every high school, every junior high school, every teacher, every individual that we become encountered with needs to know the message of salvation. Somebody say revival. It is the will of God that our churches cease from struggling and our youth group cease from struggling. We have the message of salvation. We are not guessing if we are serving the one true and living God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. We don't serve three gods. We serve one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father who is above us all, through us all, and in us all. Somebody shout glory. And if we have the truth and we are people of the name, everybody say the name. We understand that his name is not just Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every other name, that at the name of
Jesus.
At the name of
Jesus.
Oh, I can't hear you.
Jesus.
I can't hear you.
Jesus.
at that name. What's his name?
Jesus.
What's his name?
Jesus.
Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. And if we worship and praise the name of our God, it's not too late for us to have a miracle. Somebody shout glory.
And if we know the name of our God and we have experienced the power of His Spirit in our lives, then why is it that the church of today is not experiencing the revival that God intends for the church to be enjoying? And I looked deeply into the scriptures, and as I began to analyze Acts chapter 16, I realized that we focus so much on verse 25 that at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. But the Holy Ghost allowed me to go back to previous verses as I began to ask the question, why were they in prison? For what reason were they thrown in the inner courts that they were restricted from worshiping, praising God, and testifying of the goodness of God? There's a reason why the church is not experiencing the kind of revival that we should be experiencing. And I've come to preach tonight that if we can understand why we're going through such turmoil and difficulties and struggles in our lives, that when God breaks in to our struggles, we shall and will experience revival. I began to look at it very carefully. Then from verse 14 to verse 24, we are introduced to a woman by the name of Lydia. And the Bible tells us that she was a seller of purple. And when Paul and Silas came to where she was after receiving the Macedonian call, come over into Macedonia and help us. And the Bible said that when they came to her coast and where she lived, the Bible said her entire household believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and she was baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus. We further go on to read about a damsel who was bound by spirits of divination, and her master used her in her bondage for his own gain. But when Paul and Silas prayed for her, that spirit of divination left her, and as the spirit was cast out, then those men became upset at the apostles, and they asked the magistrates to put them in prison. You hear me tonight? It's when you and I go back to our high schools and we go back to our family and we begin to teach a Bible study and we begin to bring them out of the fire, bring them to church, they're baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when hell becomes upset. If you are not experiencing persecution, it's because you are not evangelizing. Hear me. Persecution only comes to those that are doing great damage to the kingdom of darkness. If you are teaching Bible studies, if you are witnessing to your classmates, if you are telling those in your community that they need to turn away from sin and turn to God, hell is on your track. Hell is going to come after you, because the devil doesn't want you to tell anybody else about Jesus. But somebody needs to tell the devil, it's too good for me to keep it to myself. I've got to tell somebody. No matter what you do to my family, no matter how you try to mess my life up, I am a witness. I am a witness of the grace of God. And I've got to tell somebody about Jesus. Let me tell you, if hell turns up the fire of persecution in your life, turn up the fire of witnessing on hell. The more he afflicts you,
is the more you praise God. The more he troubles you is the more people you tell of the goodness of Jesus. Hear me.
If you are not witnessing, then you are not affecting hell. But when you begin to tell of the Lord Jesus Christ and his goodness, that's when all of hell is going to become extremely upset. Upset to the point that he is going to allow situations to come your way, as did the disciples, and cast them into prison. They were not put in prison because they were cute. They were not cast in prison because they were silent. They were put in prison because they noised it abroad. Everywhere they went, they told about Jesus. And for their testimony, verse 24 tells us that they were cast into the inner prison and their feet fastened in stocks. They were placed in restriction to the place where they could not testify anymore seemingly of the goodness of God. Hear me tonight. That hell has brought trouble your way and my way to restrict us from praising God. To restrict us from testifying of the goodness of Jesus. The greater your family crisis is, the less focused you are on reaching the lost. You pray less. You testify less. You do not tell of the goodness of God the way you would if everything was going all right. Some of you wonder, why is it that you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death? It's because literally hell is trying to stop you. But I'm about to tell somebody, if your feet are in stocks and your hands are bound together and you feel like you're in a prison and you can't break out, I'm come to tell you, there is a God in heaven that if you cannot break out, my God will break in. Somebody say, Lord, break in. Now hear me tonight. You might say you want God to break in. But there is a difference between saying it and meaning it. How did God break in to Paul and Silas' prison? Everybody say, at midnight. Paul and Silas. Break in to your prison. You better get to worshiping him. Oh, you don't hear me. Oh, sit down. That's not worship. Worship. Worship is when it comes from the depths of your soul. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Hear me. Some of you are waiting until your situation changes before you praise God. While you're in your prison, while the devil has you down, tell the devil, I might.
might be down, but I am not out. I am going to praise God in my prison.
Help me a little.
Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God until the prisoners heard them.
Oh, you don't hear me.
You've got to let some other people who are in similar situation look at you and say, wait a minute, aren't you going through the same kind of trial I'm going through? Well, how come you're still going to church? How come you're still praising God? Because I believe that when I praise Him, I am inviting God to break in. Somebody say, Lord, break in.
Hear me. You say, preacher, I don't feel like praising God. Well, I'm sorry. If you want God to break in, you can't operate on feelings.
You know what the psalmist said? He said, make a joyful noise.
No, that's close. Hang on.
Making it is doing it in spite of where I am, what I'm feeling, who's around me, I said make it, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Can somebody make a joyful noise in this place? I can't hear you. If you praise Him, you're inviting God in, but you have to praise Him.
The psalmist said, come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. You see, when you're in your prison and you know that God is God, you don't let little chains, problems at home, the breakup of a family, a boyfriend or a girlfriend that has broken your heart, stop you from praising your God. You forget about who broke your heart. You forget about what's going on at home. And you say, you know what? If I can't handle it, there is a God that if I praise Him, He will show me how to handle it. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and let's make a joyful noise.
You may be seated. You see, we must understand that if we literally want God to break into our situations, I listened to your testimony, and I'm telling you, many of us have not even began to worship God yet. How? Don't clap yet. You know why? Because if you ever get to praising God in this place, all of Santa Maria will know something is happening. The scripture said, and the prisoners heard them. That means everybody that was in the same situation and in the surrounding area heard them. I wonder if everybody has heard us yet. wonder if anybody down the road even knows we're in this place tonight. Slow down. When the world's heroes score a touchdown or makes a basketball hoop, they let you know that their hero is still their hero. Somebody needs to let the devil know, I might be in prison, but my hero is still my hero. Come on, somebody. You need to let the devil know, I might be in prison, but God is God, and God don't ever change. You to quit because of me. Come on. If you praise him, you'll come out of your prison. I didn't tell you to quit. I didn't tell you to quit. Because if you want God to break in, you're going to have to go beyond the north. You're going to have to go beyond your little comfort zone. You're going to have to praise God in this place. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, clap your hands unto the Lord, somebody. Hear me. You say, Brother Mitchell, listen to me. You say, Brother Mitchell, what's all this about? Does God really work through my praise? Is there really something to my praise? Listen to me. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. Now hold on to your seatbelts. And suddenly, there was an earthquake. If you want God to shake up some things in your world, praise him. Nothing gets shaken until you praise God. Come on, come on, come on, somebody. If you want there to be an explosion, praise God. I want God to bring about an earthquake. I need an earthquake if there is no praise. Now, how many of you want an earthquake? When God breaks in, He always breaks in with a sound. On the day of Pentecost, it came with a sound. Wind. When God breaks in to your world, there is going to be a sound. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, I hear the sound of a break-in. I can't break out. I hear God break it in. Somebody raise your hand and say, Lord, break in. One more. Shut up, Baba. Hear me. Stay right where you are. And the scripture said, suddenly there was a great earthquake. Listen to me. So that the foundation of the prison was shaken. I'm about to tell you. Listen to me. When God gets ready to break in, He's not coming through the doors. He's going to come through the foundation. He's coming through the foundation. Because under foundation, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. And every foundation, every situation that seems to be established in your life, that you can't break out. God says, when I break in, I break up every foundation. Because when I come in, I am the only foundation that's going to remain. Somebody say, Lord, break in. Hear me. When the Lord broke in, listen to me carefully. The first thing that happened was every door swung wide open. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, when God breaks in, doors open. Every door the devil closed on you. Every scholarship. Come on. Every door that the devil closed on you. When God breaks in, not just some doors, but every door becomes open. You hear me, pastors? If you're under the sound of my voice, when God breaks into your church, every door, revival door, financial door, every door becomes open. Somebody say, Lord, break in. How many of you under the sound of my voice, literally, doors are being slammed in your face? You're not able to get ahead the way you'd like to. Things that you'd like to have, it seems as if the doors of opportunity are closing. Hear me. If you'll praise God in this service right now, when God breaks into your situation, I'm telling you, by the time you reach home, or might maybe even by tonight, tomorrow morning, somebody gonna call you and say, guess what? The door And how many would like for God to break in? Hang on a second. Hang on. If you want God to break in, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, give me room. Means I need space. Oh, you don't hear me. Touch your neighbor and say, step back. I need room. Because if God's going to break into my world, I got to show God and hell that I mean. Hang on, hang on. Hang on. Now, I see some of you in the back. You need God to break into your world too. So touch your neighbor, say, neighbor, step back. I need room because I need space. Once I start, I'm going to be out of control. I don't know what direction I'm going to go. I might go left. I might go right. I might go forward. I might go backwards. But I'm not stopping until God breaks in. Come on, God, break in. Break in. God, break in. I need God to break in. Come on, anybody up here want God to break in?
Shout with you. If you can, shout.